Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Nigerian in America. I'm your host, Kate. Just a quick shout out to everybody that has been listening to the podcast so far. I really appreciate you and your comments and your ideas of things you want us to discuss and talk about in your conversations. They have been really enlightening for me, and I really appreciate each and every one of you that reached out to me, and you know, we've been having these conversations. Today's topic is going to be about this video I watched. I'm sure everybody has heard of Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith, her mom, and Willow Smith. And I watch those whenever I get a chance to. I'm a big fan of Red Table Talk. I'm also a big fan of Grapevine. If you don't know what Grapevine is, please type that into YouTube. They really discuss some really interesting topics, and I think you should definitely look at those videos, because I mean I'd agree with everything, but it really does give an insight into different people's perspective, at least. And on this episode of Red Table Talk, it was with Wale and I keep on forgetting this guy's name, from Jane the Virgin. Oh, he's so cute, but he's married and he has kids. Anyway, yeah, and it was about, you know, love and finding love and really understanding what love is from a male's perspective. And I found it very interesting when Wale was describing how he never really saw any sort of affection or love or anything like that when he was growing up, coming from a Nigerian family, you know, Nigerian background, both parents being Nigerian. And I saw a lot of comments of, you know, Nigerians who definitely related to that. You know, of course, there are anomalies where they're like, nah, I never experienced that. My parents were very, you know, affectionate to one another, I guess, in their perspective or whatever. But for the most part, a lot of us, especially those of us that grew up in a single family home, we never really saw our parents being affectionate. You know, it was either our mom was with us all the time and, you know, dad was traveling somewhere, or they were separated. Or even if they're in the same house, it was a very cold, you know, calculated, oh, you're home, okay, are you hungry, do you want to eat, okay, and that's it. Like, we didn't really see any sort of affection or hear any words of affection coming from them. And I think, quite honestly, it's a product of our environment, quite honestly. We cannot, and I know I'm going to say something very, you know, controversial, but I do believe that our colonization had a lot to do with the way that we interact with one another. Why do I say this? Because if you look at the relationships and the social norms of the Europeans, when it came to showing affection in public or even in front of their children, I mean, there was a time, I can't remember which century, where as soon as, you know, a woman gives birth, she gives the baby to a nursemaid and they're put in separate rooms. They see the child for a specific number of, you know, hours during the day, and then they're off to their nursemaid, to their nannies. And that, you know, really transcended for a really long time. You know, it was rare to see parents interacting with their children per se, or interacting with each other per se, in an affectionate way in front of their children. And it was very calculated. And you also have to think about, you know, back for them, you know, marriage is a calculation. It's not really about love and affection and everything like that. It's more about property and status and everything like that. So you can't really force affection when none exists, you know. So I think along with that, they kind of brought that mentality to us. Now, I don't know since we don't really have that much of written history in Nigeria, we cannot infer what our relationships were with each other back then. But I do believe that the influence of European culture into ours definitely affected the way that we interact with each other. And also bringing it back to modern day times, you know, we saw our parents really struggle. Unless, you know, you were born from a very privileged background, a lot of our parents, even at that, I mean, a lot of our parents struggled in the workplace, you know, in society and everything like that. So for us, we didn't really get to see them be affectionate because, you know, they were frustrated. The government was failing them, society was failing them, you know, the whole place was turning to crap. It's a very stressful existence. And I believe that in some cases, for some cultures, you know, they don't really approve of, you know, that kind of behavior in front of the children. Now, maybe if they did that behind closed doors, that actually is more of a realistic way of seeing things. You know, I believe that these type of things probably happened behind closed doors without us seeing them, you know. But I think that also plays a role in how we see our partners. You know, now that we're grown up, some of us are married, some of us have kids and everything like that. I think it definitely has a way of showing up in the way that we treat our children, in the way that we treat each other. Because, you know, all this, what do Americans call it? PDA. You know, we never really saw a lot of PDA. So now all of a sudden we're supposed to do that. And of course, there are people who are still old-fashioned and like, no, you don't behave like that in public. You know, you have to treat him with respect. But if I want to put my husband's hand in car, or if I want to kiss him on the cheek in car, that's like, you know, it's a lot of cultural background to it, and of course personal background to it. Our parents really didn't, you know, I agree with some sentiments where our parents really did not prepare us adequately to relate to one another in that way. Because we never saw it, you know. And then of course there are those situations where they were in abusive relationships, mental abuse, physical abuse, places, you know, for us who were raised by single parents as well, you know, we didn't see any interaction because there was none, you know. So I think that definitely had a lot of influence in the way that we see relationships, you know. And then of course social media plays a role, because you see all these relationship goals on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff, and you're like, I'm sorry, what? You know, you see a man buy his wife what's that popular ugly car, a G-Wagon. Okay, side note, I don't understand how you would like a G. It's the ugliest looking car I have ever seen in my entire lifetime. Like, I probably might see more, but that is the ugliest. But anyway, I digress. But we see these things on social media, and because we have nothing to compare it to, we believe that this is the ultimate show of affection, or the ultimate show that you love me, you know. Buy me gifts and all these other things, because we didn't see it at home, or we were deprived that affection from our family. So we seek that affection and that validation outside of our family, in our significant ones. I can definitely say for me personally, I grew up in a single family household, in a sense that for a long time my mother was single. We lived with her parents and her brother in Nigeria, and my interaction with my grandparents, you know, seeing them was I don't want to use a very bad word, but let's just say very dysfunctional. Okay. dates, of course, well, I'm sure a lot of people can relate, but they slept in different rooms. A lot of the words exchanged between them were not nice words. They were very hostile towards each other. If anything, they barely spoke to one another. When food was ready, of course, me being the smallest in the house, like, go and tell your grandfather there's food, you know. And I'll just run the errand because then, you know, I can't say no, I don't want to. So it was very dysfunctional. And of course, my mom was gone all the time because she was working, you know, hustling in Nigeria, really trying to make it work. My uncle was nowhere to be seen half the time. But for me, their relationship was literally one of the most lasting relationships in front of me. And then, of course, when I started growing up and I started, you know, really understanding life and seeing the other relationships around me, my other uncles, my aunts, you know, their type of relationships, I realized that we have a very dysfunctional view of relationships, in my opinion. We see each other as the cure to our illnesses, as the cure to our faults, and that is not how we're supposed to come into a relationship. You know, we expect that these people are supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and then when they don't do that, we call them useless, we call them shameful, a coward, we call them a failure, we call them all sorts of names. I picked you up off the street, I put a roof over your head, what else do you want? You know, I bought you from your parents, what do you mean? Oh, look, you went to go and find a job, you could not find a job, how can you provide for your family? You know, those type of words really break down somebody's mentality. They really break down someone's psyche. And for some people, they internalize it. Other people, it comes out in, you know, even harsher words. It comes out in violence, it comes out in bitterness, and it comes out and affects most especially the children, because this is what they see, you know. And for the most part, number one thing that they are deprived because of this is your love and affection. Like, I want us to really, like, sit down and think about the last time we hugged our parents simply because we wanted to hug them, or we said I love you simply because we had that feeling, like, okay, mom, I love you, like, for real, I really love you, you know. I want us to sit down and think how many times in our childhood where I love you, or I'm proud of you, or a simple, you know, acknowledgement would have meant the world to us. And because of the dysfunction that we have, we never got that, and how that affected us in the long run. You know, these things, we don't think it's too much, because, like, you know, everybody is going through that now. It's not a special something, it's common. But just because it's common doesn't mean it's right, you know. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's good. So when you are going through relationship issues and you're like, I don't understand why my relationships don't last, or why can't he be this thing for me, this is what I need, why can't he be this thing for me, well, you have to think about why you need that, why you want this person to be this person, why you need this person to be this person, you know. And evaluate why, or evaluate your relationship. Even if you're in a relationship right now, you know, really think about why you're with the person. What do you need from them? And if it's something that you can accomplish for yourself, something that you can validate for yourself, then that takes up a whole lot of mental burden from you, because then it's like, well, I don't really expect this from you. I'm pretty much doing this on my own, you know. So you're removing an unnecessary expectation from the relationship simply because you're dealing with something that you can provide for yourself. And so I just thought that it was a really insightful conversation, because it led to a lot. Because it's like, well, how did your parents show affection to you? And it's a lot of people online were like, I'm beating you because I love you. Like, guys, that's violence. That's child abuse. I don't know if you think there's something else, but that's child abuse, okay? No. You know, that's, and it's sad, because these are the only things that we have to say that our parents said that, you know, they showed us some sort of affection, or they put one extra meat in our jollof rice on our birthday or something. Like, wow. You know, wow. And then to top it all off, if you really think about how we as humans really need affection. We really do need affection. Women, men, in between, we need affection. We need human to human contact. And it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual. Okay? It doesn't have to be sexual. A hug. I mean, a hug. A genuine hug for a couple of seconds really can change your whole body physiology. You know, that moment of just comfort, that moment of a little peace, you know, or affection from someone that you care about. And I personally think that it's necessary for us. You know, I don't know what type of Western ideologies have been passed on to make us believe that affection between ourselves must only be sexual, or, you know, is bad unless it's sexual. Like, I want to be able to hug my girlfriends. Like, hug my girlfriends and rub their back. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be like a sad situation, but like, hug them, like, babes, I love you. You know, you're my friend, you're my confidant, you're my bestie, I love you. I want to just, you know, transfer some of my positive spiritual energy, and let's have this moment. You know, like, we don't have to be in a sexual relationship to have affection, you know. Even when and I think back in the early 2000s, when the whole nonsense about when young men were being affectionate towards each other and others would call them gay, I hated that, to be honest with you. I mean, I was young still, but it just did not feel right to me for people to say that. How can you say that seeking affection must only be sexual? That doesn't make any sense. You know, sometimes it and like I said, it doesn't have to be in grief or in happiness or anything like that. Sometimes you need a strong shoulder to hold you up, you know. I mean, as a guy, there are a lot of things that you guys are going through mentally, physically, that it's difficult to find a safe space just to take a deep breath, you know, or to relax. And sometimes you need your bro to just hold on to you for like a good minute and be like, yo, okay, I got you, just release. You know, if you need to cry, cry. If you need to sigh, sigh. If you just need to breathe, you know, I got you. You know, it's difficult because we live in a very stupid and idiotic society that makes it seem as though that is bad, and it's not. It really is not. And because there is no camaraderie, because there is no place like that, I think a lot of men seek that in women in sexual release, because they don't believe that there's any other release for them. But that also is wrong as well. You know, I think it's hard for guys to really be themselves, even in relationships, because they're not quite sure if you are a safe space for them. I mean, women, we like to say these things a lot because, you know, we're very vocal about all this stuff. We're like, oh, you need to be a safe space for me. I need to be able to do this, da-da-da-da-da. But all these things you're asking of them, can you provide for them? You know, can you be with someone that, you know, maybe they had a situation or whatever, and they're like, babe, you know, I don't know. And you can be like, okay, you know what, just sit. We're just gonna sit here for like a good minute. Whatever you feel is going on, I'm not gonna say nothing. Just keep, you know, just get it out of your system. You know, just talk, whatever you wanna do. Just, if you wanna cry, cry. If you wanna shout, shout. If you wanna smash stuff, I'm okay with it. Just release. You know, can you be that safe space for somebody? It's not easy. Let me just be honest. And I don't know why I digressed into this, but I think it's something to be said when we can get to that point of intimacy and understanding and realization that we as human beings, I'm not talking about race, I'm not talking about culture, I'm not talking about anything else, but as human beings, we need affection. We need validation. And when I say validation, I mean words of encouragement, affirmations, you know, not just to ourselves but to others. You know, gas your girls up, gas your guys up, like, yo, you pretty today, like, what's going on, is it new lashes, you know? Or, oh, you did your hair nice, that was really cool. Oh, I like your shirt. Oh, those shoes are cute, you know. It's not a you don't have to be in competition or everything like that. Or if you see somebody that's really pretty, like, I've seen a lot of pretty women, and I'm like, oh my God, you're so pretty. You know, and it's not about I'm being jealous or anything like that, but I feel like you should be able to say that and move on, like, oh my God, you really look cute today. Well, I hope you have a nice day. Bye. You know, or I really like your shirt, that's really cool, okay, bye. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to lead into anything, no conversation or anything like that, but we should be able to be at that space where we can say things like that and offer words of encouragement and give affection without expecting anything back, you know. And to tie it back into what we were talking about in the beginning, it is something that is a product of our environment, most especially our family. I can tell you personally, I am not an affectionate person per se. I think I just started being affectionate in a sense this past couple of years, but it took a while for me to get there because it wasn't something that I ever saw. You know, we were always on survival mode, so we didn't have time to be affectionate with each other. We didn't have the connection, we didn't have the conversations, we didn't have anything to be in that space where we can say we are affectionate to each other. So for me, being able to recognize that on my own and say, you know what, we only have this one life to live, I might as well at least try my best somehow to break through that. And now, you know, for me, now my mom, my sister, we're very affectionate with each other, which is very liberating, very peaceful sometimes, you know. It's very comforting, especially when maybe one of us is having a bad day or anything like that. I know my sister, sometimes she'll have this really, like, weird-looking face on her because she's so stressed from school, and she'll come and just give me a hug. You know, and I think that in itself is necessary. I really do think that we need to think about how much we are a product of our relationships, we are a product of our families. And once we begin to see that, and once we begin to realize that, we can make necessary adjustments in our relationships. And on a final note, please tell your parents you love them now while they're still here. please tell them you love them. Tell your children you love them. You're proud of them. You know, gas your parents up sometimes. I always tell my mom she's cute because she is cute to me. You know, please, 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 let's work to be better. Let's work to be better. And with that, I leave you to the rest of your week. I appreciate you again for listening to my podcast, and I hope to catch you next time.